want to thank Uri for inviting me and also for the wonderful flowery introduction. It's very much appreciated. It's a pleasure. It's now 5 years. It's my fifth year that I'm here on Tikkun Leil Hoshanah Rabbah, and it's a particular honor and a kavod to be in this great shul under the distinguished leadership of a great, great rabbi who continues to grace us with his extraordinary learning and teaching and all the wonderful things that he does for this community and for our entire community and for other communities. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give him good health and strength to be able to continue to be such an extraordinary role model for so many of us. I'm sort of running out of themes already that are shtickle related to this time of year, but I thought of one more. We'll see if maybe next year, if we're still here, maybe we'll have to really go to the drawing board. And I decided that this year I would tackle the issue of Hazkoras Geshamim and She'elot Geshamim. The reason being because, as you know, on Shemini Atzeres is an important turning point with regard to these some of these matters. Does anybody not have a copy of the sheet? Anybody not have a copy of the sheet? So you should all have, each one of you should be holding a sheet. There should be enough. If not, make sure that you're please sitting next to somebody who has a sheet. I don't talk to you. We come to learn together. So please make sure you have the sheet. So I want to begin, Doc, on page 2. With that Hakdama, I want to begin on page 2 with the Mishnah Maseches Brachos. So I want to give a little bit of a background to the issue about Hazkaras Geshamim. Hazkaras Geshamim means when we mention Geshamim, and that's a reference to Mashiach V'ruach HaMarad HaGoshem, or Marad HaGeshem. That's not for tonight. And then She'elas Geshamim is V'sein Ta'alu Matim, when we actually ask for rain. We mention the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to grant us rain, and then we actually ask for rain. So let's start with Mazkirin Gevuras Geshamim. It's in Mishnah Brachos Daf Lamed Gimel. It's in the top half of the second page. Maskirin Gevuros Geshamim B'tchias HaMesim U'She'ela B'Birchas HaShanim. So the Mishnah introduces us to these two sections of the davening. If you take a look at Rashi, Maskirin Gevuros Geshamim Mashav HaRuach, this is a reference to Mashav HaRuach, She'eno Loshon Bakasho. We're not asking for anything, we're not requesting anything when we say the words Mashav HaRuach, Elo Loshon Askara V'Shevach. We just mentioned it, and we express our Hakaras HaTov, our praise, our gratitude to God. That is Gevuros Geshamim, and the part of the Shemona Esrei where we mention Gevuros Geshamim is in the Bracha of Tchias HaMesim, in the second of the Brachas of the Shemona Esrei. U'She'ela, She'ela, next Rashi, V'sho'alin, V'sein Talumata, Lashon Bakasha, U'She'ela, B'Birchas HaShanim. And we say that phrase later on in the Shemona Esrei, in the bracha of Birchas Hashan. Says the Gemara, Maskirin Gevuros Geshamim, Mai Taima. Why do we mention it in the bracha of Tchias HaMesim? Amar Rav Yosef, Mitoch, Sheshkula Ketchias HaMesim, Lefichach Kavuha B'Tchias HaMesim. It is Shokul Keneged Tchias HaMesim, without rain, without water, we're finished. And so when the water comes, it revives us. So it is considered to be on the level of Tchias HaMesim, and therefore we mention it in the bracha of Tchias HaMesim. U'She'ela b'birchas HaShanim, my taima, Amar Rav Yosef, mitoch shehi parnasa, lefichach kavuha b'birchas parnasa. So the Mishnah and the Gemara tell us the placement of these two phrases. One is at the beginning of the Shemona Esrei, and one is further into the Shemona Esrei. The next Gemara that I want to mention to you, actually, I, for some reason, neglected to Xerox for you, but it's a well-known Mishnah at the very beginning of Maseches Tainis. Now that we've established in Maseches Brachos that we have these two prayers, the question is, when do we recite them? What's the timetable to recite them? So the Mishnayos begin, Maseches Tainis begins, Amei Masai Maskirin Gevuros Geshamim, when do we start saying, Mashiv Ruach Marad HaGoshem, or Marad HaGeshem? It's a machlokas in the Mishnah. One opinion says, Miyom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, and the other opinion, Rabbi Yoshua, says, Miyom Tov HaAchron Shel Chag. And we know, of course, that we start saying Mashiv HaRuach on the Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag, which is, Amitz Hashem, this coming Shabbos, Yom Tov Achron being Shmini Atzeres. At which point do we stop saying Mashiv HaRuach? We stop saying Mashiv HaRuach when we come to the beginning of Pesach. By Pesach already we stop. We say it from Sukkot to Pesach. Now let's look at page 1 for the terminus ad quo and terminus ad quem for the recital of the same Talamata, for She'elas Geshamim. So once again, we have Haskaras Geshamim, we have She'elas Geshamim. Haskaras Geshamim is in the Brach of Kriyas HaMesim. Haskaras Geshamim is bounded by the end of Sukkot and Pesach. She'elas Geshamim is in the Brach of Birchas Hashanim, the same Talamata. And now, we're going to see the Mishnah later on in Tainus Daf Yud, as to when we begin and reciting this tefillah. So the Mishnah says, a little bit more than halfway down, on Tainus Daf Yud, on page 1 of the sheet, Begimel b'mar cheshven sholen es hagshama. We start on the 3rd of Mar cheshven. Ram gamliel omer b'shivabo. We should wait until the 7th of the month of cheshven, because we have to count teshvav yom achar hachag, kedei sheyagia achron shebi Yisrael, not l'nahar paras. We want to wait 15 days after Sukkot is over in order to allow all the Oli Regalim, or as many Oli Regalim as we can, to be able to return home safely. The assumption is, the concern is, the hope is, that if we say it earlier, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond to us earlier, and then it'll rain earlier, and people are going to get stuck on the way home. So therefore we give 15 days is an appropriate window of time to make sure that people from Yerushalayim could get to Nahar Paras. And then already at that point, we can start to mention, and not just mention, but actually request to ask for the same Tal Umatar. So Rabbi Gamliel says it's not on the 3rd of the month, it's on the 7th of the month. Amar Abelazar says the Gemara, Halacha k'Rabbi Gamliel. The Halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, so in Eretz Yisrael, and the Shia tonight is going to be maybe not only in Eretz Yisrael, but we know that in Eretz Yisrael, we start saying the same Talamata on the 7th of the month of Cheshvan. Tanya, continues the Gemara, Chananya Omer, Ubagola ad Shishim Bitkufa. Bagola, we don't do what the Mishnah says we do. You notice that the Mishnah doesn't say only in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says that when the Mishnah says, Rama Gamliel says the 7th of Mar Cheshvan, it's only a reference to Eretz Yisrael. But outside of Eretz Yisrael, Bagola, in the diaspora, we wait until Shishim B'Tkufa, until the 60th day of the autumnal equinox. This is known as Tkufas Tishrei. So which brings us, as we know, we start saying the same Talamotar much later. We start saying it in December. And this essentially accounts, without going into it in great detail, for this strange anomaly that we have a ritual act that's contingent upon the so-called secular calendar. If you look at the Chumash, at the Siddur, December this, December that, Vasram Mishigas is December this, December that, because it has to do with the solar calendar. The Tzkufa is the solar calendar. So if you make the Cheshvan of the solar calendar, it ends up with that kind of a conclusion. But Gola is significantly after when it is in Eretz Yisrael. If you look at Rashi, the end of the first wide line in Rashi, the Rashi on this Gemara, Ubagola Shishim, Rashi explains why is it, in fact, that we differentiate between Eretz Yisrael and the Gola. Why is it that in the Gola we start saying the same Talamata, we start asking She'elas Gishamim much later than Eretz Yisrael? Ubagola Shishim, Zot Rashi, Ubagola Ein Sho'alem Ad Shishim B'Tkufa, Lefi Shehu Makom Nabuch, because Bavel is lower, Ve'Ein Tzricha Matar Kolkach, doesn't need rain that much. So therefore you don't have to start earlier. You could start later, and that's also enough time. Since it's higher, the higher it is, the higher the elevation, the more rain it needs. Because if it's a lower elevation, then the rain runs off, and whatever there is, it's still there, it's still available to them. So Makom Namuch benefits from even a little rainfall because it goes down. If you're higher up, then the rain passes you quickly, so you need more rain. Eretz Yisrael is higher than Bavel, so the higher elevation needs rain earlier. The lower elevation, that's how Rashi is machalek between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. It's a makom namuch, because it's a makom namuch, so therefore it doesn't need ein tzricha matar kol kach, so therefore we can defer she'elas gishamim until a few weeks later. The last Rashi in his commentary on this Gemara before the next Mishnah, so it's seven lines from the bottom of Yoram and Aleph. Third word, ubibavel bigola, so Rashi repeats, mitoch she'enon tzrichem l'gshamim, since they don't need rain that much, ein sho'alin ad samach l'tekufas tishrei. Now the question is, what about, and we're going to tackle them in Siriatim, what about the Northern Hemisphere? What about where Rashi lives? Rashi lives in the 11th into the 12th century. Rashi lives in Northern France. So what's the story in Northern France? Is Northern France like Bavel, or is Northern France like Eretz Yisrael? If it's a din in height, or if it's a din in need, so what do we do in our community? So after Rashi presents the story with regard to Bavel, Rashi says, V'chein anu noagim, shekol min hagenu achar b'nei Bavel. That in fact it may not necessarily cut solely on the question of need. We follow Minat Bavel, says Rashi. Fascinating general conversation. We in Ashkenaz follow Minat Bavel. Minat Bavel starts Shishim B'Tkufa. So we, by Ashkenaz I mean in this particular case Northern France, we are going to start also in the 11th century, in the 12th century, in medieval Ashkenaz, we're also going to start on Shishim B'Tkufa. Now let's take a look at the bottom of page 2. There's one more introductory Gemara, then a Rambam, a few Rishonim, and then we'll get into the historical section. The Gemara in Tainis, Yud Dalet Amud Beis, the bottom of page 2 is Yud Dalet Amud Beis in Tainis, posits a central and fundamental principle which we are going to see will be drawn upon in a lot of the discussion of the Rishonim and the Achronim on this issue. It's towards the second half of the second wide line, beginning with Sholchu Le B'nei Ninveh L'Rebbe. Sholchu Le B'nei Ninveh L'Rebbe, bottom of page 2, a little bit more than halfway down the second line. Kigon Anan, Da'afilu B'tkufas Tamuz, B'inon Nitra, Hechi Na'avid. We, where we live, B'nei Ninveh, we need rain also in the summertime. T'kufas Tishrei is sort of the general catch-all for the wintertime. T'kufas Tamuz is the general catch-all for the summertime. Well, guess what? We need rain in the summertime. We know that by the time we come to the summertime, we don't any longer say the Saint Talamotar, and we don't any longer say Mashiv Varachu Morid Hageshem Hagoshem. There's no Haskoras Gishamim, and there's no She'elas Gishamim after Pesach. But what are we going to do? For us, it's counterproductive, because we need rain even after Pesach. We need rain into the summertime. What should we do? Hechi Nevad. What are the options? Ki Yechidim Daminan o Kerabim Daminan. How should we treat our need? Is it an individual need, or is it a collective communal need? L'may nafkamina what this is, so the Gemara explains. Is it ki yechidim daminan u'bishomea tefila? We know the halacha is that a yachid, an individual who has a particular personal need, it's actually a wonderful gift that the Chazal give us, that we don't only have to say the words of the Shemoneh Esrei as they appear in the Siddur, but we can also personalize it. We can make it relevant to us. We can say words that we say that somebody else doesn't say. It's distinctive, it's individual to us. In Shomea Tfila, if we have a particular request, then, in the middle of Shomea Tfila, we stop, we could say anything personally negea to us, and then we continue. So if we, B'nei Ninveh, need rain in the summertime, so do we have a halacha of a conglomerate of yechidim, in which case we can ask for rain, just like we can ask for anything, but it's in the context of Shomea Tfila, just like if a yachad needs anything, they could ask in Shomea Tfila. Oh, Karabim Daminan, Ubabirchas Hashanim. Or can we extend the regular Nusach HaLishman Esrei and say the same Talumotar, where we would normally say the same Talumotar in the Berchas HaShanim, because it's not a din in a Yachid that's limited to Shomei Atfila. We could continue to say it when we normally say it. Instead of stopping Pesach, we'll just keep on going until we don't need it anymore. That's the Shai. Sholach Lehu. So Rebbe answered, Ki Yechidim Demisu U'Bishomei Atfila. You are like Yechidim, and if you need it, you must stop saying the same Talumot and the Berchas HaShanim. That you have to keep, because that is the accepted custom. You cannot go against the accepted custom, which stipulates that come Pesach time, there's no more She'elas Gishamim, but I never, what should I do? I need it. Okay, so we have a formula. You say it in Shomea Tefila. Says Rashi, Ubishomea Tefila, a little bit more than halfway down. Rashi, Ubishomea Tefila Amrinan, L'She'elas Motor, Ki Yocher HaShoel Tzrocha, Ubishomea Tefila. Now let's come to the Rambam on page 3. Just to summarize the basic halacha of the Rambam and the basic halacha. So the Rambam paskens zinuchas tefila perek beis halacha tezayin. Nishiva yamid b'marcheshvin, sha'olin esag shamin b'birchas shanim, kolzman shemazkir hagesha. We start on the seventh day of Marcheshvin. The Rambam paskens like the Gemara paskens, not the Tanakhama says on the third. No, we pass on like a Rabbi Gamliel, who says it's on the seventh. Mishiva yamid b'marcheshvin, sha'ol v'nesag shamim, b'birchas hashanim. So that's the Mishnah in Masachas Brachas Lamed Gimel, that we do she'elas gishamim and birchas hashanim, as long as we mention rain. In other words, until Pesach. B'med var mamurim, when does this halacha apply that we start saying the same talu motor on the seventh of marcheshvin? That's Beretz Yisrael. Avo b'shinor b'suria b'mitzrayim u'b'mekomus hasmuchos la'elu v'hadom elohen shal en esag shamim b'yom shishim achar tekufas tishrei. That's the rest of the Gemara Masachas Tainis. U'bagola, the Rambam tries to flesh out what the gola is. He gives a number of examples. U'bagola, we don't start when we start in Eretz Yisrael on the seventh of Marcheshvin paskening like Rabbi Gamliel, but we start shishim b'tekufa. Halacha Yudzayin, Mekomo Shehen Tzrichen L'Gishamim B'Yamos HaChama. Let's say you need rain in the summertime. Kigon Iyer Yam HaRachokim Shol and Esag Shamim Be'ez Shehen Tzrichen Lohen B'Shomei Atfila. So the Rambam Paskins, Kesef Mishnah points out, like the Gemara in Yedalim, Solchu Le B'nei Ninveh to Rebbe, they need it even in the summertime. I'm sorry, you cannot say the same Talumot and Birchas HaShanim, that option shuts down Pesach. You can, however, continue to say it as individuals in the place, in the Shemona Esrei, where Bichlal individuals have an opportunity to add, to be Moses, to articulate any particular personal need that they have. And the Kesef Mishnah quotes all of these Gemaras that we saw, and we see it here neatly put together in the Rambam. On page 4, the top of page 4, just a little bit more on the issue of the difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, and also very interesting question of the Ran that has historical significance. So first of all, in terms of the issue of why is Bavel different from Eretz Yisrael, why do we start later? So you remember Rashi interpreted the difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is higher, Bavel is more namuch. So this basic rationale is found pretty much throughout the Rishonim. If you take a look at the Ran, the middle of the Ran, where it's first underlined, Ubevavel Shehi Tuv Ani, I'm at the top of page 4, Harbe Ad Samach Betkufa, Tuv Ani Litboa Tes Beis Ayin means Ein Tzinkin, it means to flood, to drown, literally. It means that it's the same rationale. It's lower, so there's more rain. The rain collects, the rain stays. So therefore, you don't need the bracha for rain. You don't need she'elas gishamim that much earlier. If you look at the Shilta Giborim on the Rif, on the left-hand side, he adds a little knech. Lefisha rov peiro sehen mitzuyim besados kigon hazesim v'chayotze bahen ad rov hatkufa ve'enan chafetzim b'gishamim kolkach. It's not just that it's lower, but the harvest season is later. the harvest season is later. It means that there's more stuff on the vine and on the tree later. If it's going to rain, it's going to get all eisgeschmettert, and you're going to lose all that, the fruit and vegetables, whatever you have on the vine. So since it's a later harvest, you want to protect it to be able to mature to the best of its ability without being hindered by a long sustained rainfall. The Meiri and Tainis, on the bottom to the right, Upirish Hadover, why is it Ubigamara Amru Ad Samach Bitkufa, Shebavel Shehu Tiv Ani, uses the same lashon as the Ran, Ve'enot Tzricho Lamotar Kolkach, uses the same lashon as Rashi, Ein Sholin Ad Samach Litzkufa Tishrei, and the same thing in the Shibole HaLeked as well. The Ran asks an interesting historical question, parenthetically, on Rabban Gamliel, and on the fact that in Eretz Yisrael we paskan like Rabban Gamliel. What was the rationale of Rabban Gamliel? The rationale of Rabban Gamliel was, why do we wait until Zion Litkufa as opposed to the Tanakama that says Gimel Litkufa? Because we have to wait for the Ole Rigolim to go all the way to Pras, to Nahar Pras. Frekta Ram at the top of page 4, Vika Lamedek, Hacha, Hechi Pasik Rabban Lozar, the Gemara paskins Halachik Rabban Gamliel, the Rabban Gamliel lo amar hachi ela mipnei takanasin shel ole regolim. But v'ha'idna basur chur ben lekele mechash le takanasayhu. Once the Beis HaMikdash never is charev, so we don't have ole regolim. So you don't have ole regolim. The whole cheshvin is for the ole regolim. So Nebuch, I don't have ole regolim. Why is it that later on, even la'achar churban, we still paskin Zion lemar cheshvin? So at the end, the Ran answers that historically, it just so happens, that people still, even in the Middle Ages, those few Yidalach who were able to go and made an effort to go to the area of the Har HaBayis on Yom Tov, even throughout the medieval times. And so therefore, the Cheshvan, even though we don't have, unfortunately, the numbers of Eile Regalim that we had in the good old days, but Jews still made this a priority, and therefore we're still concerned about the few Yidalach who had to get home from wherever to wherever they live from Yerushalayim. Take a look at the end of the Ran. Da'achi ifsika hilchasa karama gamliel, where it's underlined, full lines from the bottom of the Ran at the top of page 4. Hainu afilu la'acha chorben. Lefi, shehayu, nis'asfin, b'chol hasvivos, beregel li'Yerushalayim. Kemot Sheosim Gam Hayom. Hayom is the 14th century. The Ran lived in Girona, in northeastern Spain, in the 14th century. In the 14th century, historical evidence that Jews were still coming to the Har HaBayis, coming to Yerushalayim on Yom Tov. So Kemot Sheosim Gam Hayom. Umipnei Olim Halolu Ro'u Shena Acher HaSheela Shehi Hoisei Iker HaTakana. So that the Takana of Rabban Gamliel is still relevant, not at the same level, but it's still relevant. Now let's go back to that little parenthetical, interesting remark of Rashi at the end of his parish on the Mishnah, on the Gemara on the Mishnah, where Rashi says that we follow Minag Bavel, which means that we, northern France, Rashi lived in Troyes, which is the north, sort of central France, and Troyes, we follow Bavel, which means that in northern France we start saying the same Talu Matar on Shishin B'Tkufa sometime at the beginning of December. The Meiri, if you look in the middle, the next to the last on page 4, the Meiri who lives in southern France. Southern France, actually, if you can take a look at the map. Take a look at the map now, because we're going to work off the map on page 5. If you look on page 5, so I xeroxed the Iker, what's relevant to me for tonight, is Germany, France, and Spain in this diagonal. Germany, France, and Spain. So northern France is northern France, and southern France is not northern France, but southern France. You don't have to be a big genius to figure that out. Southern France is known as Provence. It says the special area, the area of Provence. Provence, very interesting area in southern France, which, as my late teacher, Professor Tversky, spent a significant amount of time trying to argue, is really Nishtahin and Nishtaher. It's not north of Provence, which is Ashkenaz, and it's not south of Provence, which is Sfarad. And he claimed, and wrote significantly on this, that it has a very interesting, unique, separate, and distinctive cultural identity. It's neither here nor there. It's in between. So it's where Marseille, you see Marseille at the bottom of France on the border of the Mediterranean Sea. It's to the west of Marseille and around the rim and up until Spain. That's where the Meiri lives. And the Meiri, who died in 1316, so we're now into the 14th century, the Meiri says, next to the last, go back to page 4, says the Meiri, Yesh makomo shenoagu shelo lishol ad samach betkufa, mepnei shekol minhagenu keminhag b'nei bavel anu nohagim. That's following who? Who says, kol minhagenu follow minhag bavel? That's the what we saw in Rashi. V'yesh mishomer she'ein nohagim keminhag b'nei bavel, ela, as long as, ela kama she'tiv'e ho'arotzo shoven. That's only as long as it's justifiable. And it has to be justifiable climatologically. It's not just we follow Minhag Bavel. We follow Minhag Bavel when our needs are similar to or identical with the needs of Bavel. We have the same climate. Tiv a ho'arotzo shoven. Aval im Bavel tiv oni. Here again, the same phrase, but if Bavel is lower, it floods easily. But v'shalonu, but our countries are yavshani utzricha matar. But let's say we somewhere are dry, and if we're dry, so we need rain earlier. Af anu makdimim lishol, we also go earlier. We do what Eretz Yisrael does. In other words, it's not a din. We normally, when it comes to minhagim, so we have minhag Eretz Yisrael, we have minhag bavel. How do you shake this? How do you do this? When do you do that? So the minhag of Ashkenaz is to follow the minhag of Bavel. But here, it's not just following the minhag of Bavel. Here, it's rooted in the climate. It's rooted in the need. If you're telling me the whole reason why Bavel is different from Eretz Yisrael is because it's climatologically indicated, so then you have to be consistent. So whatever's climatologically indicated, you do like they do in Bavel. Otherwise, you do what we do in Eretz Yisrael. So the Meiri says, not like Rashi, Chol minhagenu, we follow minhag Bavel. He says, no, we follow Minhag Bavel when it's like Bavel. But if it's not like Bavel, so you don't follow Minhag Bavel. And he actually concludes, V'sho'alim b'zayin b'marcheshvin, v'chein ha'minho b'chol g'lilo seinu. That in Provence, the beginning of the 14th century, ein ha'chinami. In southern France, they started the Saint Talamotar on Zayin b'marcheshvin. Why? Because they needed it. Because they were Yavshani. Yavshani needs it. So then you follow Eretz Yisrael. It's not a din in Bavel, and it's not a din in Eretz Yisrael. It's a din in the need. The Sefer HaManig, at the bottom of page 4, the Sefer HaManig is in the 12th century, before the Meiri. Sefer HaManig is Rav Avram Rav Nassim Hayarchi. It's an extraordinary Sefer. We don't study it enough, as we should. It is a book that is a study in what I call comparative customology. Here's a Jew who lived in Provence, Hayarchi. He lived in Lunel. Lunel, Yerach, all mean moon. There's a city in southern France today called Lunel. In Hebrew, it's known as Yerach, lunar, Lunel, Yerach. Rabbi Avraham, Rabbi Nassim lived in Lunel in Provence, and he traveled. In the 12th century, he traveled north all around Ashkenaz, and he picked himself up. He went over the Pyrenees. He went into Spain. He traveled all around Spain. And he was certainly a bucky in his own home communities of Provence. And the whole Sefer HaManig, it's a mini Shulchan Aruch, where he describes the different customs with regard to any given issue that he personally witnessed in his travels from the north through Provence, through the south into Spain. And he tells us, the bottom of page 4, She'ela b'birchas Hashanim, v'sein talamotar ba'aretz, v'cholat shrichim lamotar ba'aretz Yisrael, sho'olim b'zayim ma'cheshvin. V'chein ra'isi, minhag Narbona ubisvivoseho. In Narbonne, a city in Provence, zokt the Sefer HaManig in the 12th century, they also did it like Eretz Yisrael. They did it starting to say the same Talumotor on Zion Mar Cheshem. Why? Because they needed it. And because they needed it, that's why they did it. Ubagola, but generally, Ein Shoalin Ad Samach Yom Litzkufas Tishrei. Normally, as the Gemara says, Bagola, in Bavel, we wait till later. V'chein b'Bavel matinan tuvani v'lo yufshani. Bavel is lower, it's floods easily, and it's not so dry. And then we say it until Mincha of Erev Yom Tov Yishol Pesach. U'misham v'elech kol yamos ha'kayetz ad samach l'tkufas tishrei ein shoalin v'sein talamotor v'zemin ad sorfas usfarad v'rov provinza. But in Narbonne, they started to say the same Talumotor in Zion Bimar Cheshvin. That's the 12th century Sefer HaManhig. The early 14th century Meiri, the Chain HaMinah B'chol Galilosenu in southern France, they in fact followed the Minhag of Eretz Yisrael. Now let's take a look at the absolute central tshuva on this issue, and that's the tshuva of the Rush. On page 5. This is the central tshuva. It is a fascinating tshuva. It's a dramatic story. So we're going to read through the story. The story itself is worth the price of admission to the shir tonight. The story that precipitated the shaila of the Rush, and the answer of the Rush is fascinating. Just a little shtickel hakdam on the Rush. The Rush was born in around the year 1250, in the middle of the 13th century. He's born in Ashkenaz. He's a Talmud of the Maharam Mirotenberg, of Rav Meir of Rothenburg. He learns with the Maharam primarily in the city of Worms, which is in northwestern Germany. Then there are terrible pogroms at the end of the 13th century. Terrible pogroms. You know the story with the Maharam Mirotenberg. He tries to run away, but a Meshumid snitches on him, and they throw him into jail. And that's a whole dramatic story about being ransomed, and yes to ransom him, not to ransom him. Dramatic story. The Rush's Chavrusa was the Mordechai. The Mordechai Nebuch was killed al Kiddush Hashem in that pogrom. It's known as the Rindfleisch Massacre in the 1290s. And the Rush succeeded in escaping. Of the three, the Maharam Nebuch was caught. The Mordechai Mord Nebuch was killed. And the Rush succeeded in escaping, and he comes to Spain. Now, if you look at the map, to get from Germany to Spain, you have to go to France, unless you dre, and he didn't dre, he went straight, he went to France. Going to France means going to northern France and going to southern France. Come to go through southern France, go over the Pyrenees, and you come into Spain. The largest, closest city in Spain to France is Barcelona. It's right here on the map. And we know in 1304, when the Rush first came to Spain, he developed a very close relationship with an individual with whom he had already corresponded earlier, and that is the Rashba, Rav Shlomo ibn Adrit, the great-great-great Rashba, who was the chief rabbi of Barcelona at the time, invites the Rush to come to Barcelona. He wants them to stay in Barcelona. And the Rush spends a few months in Barcelona in the company of the chief rabbi of the Rashba. We already have tshuvis from the Rush to the Rashba to the Rush, when the Rush was still in Ashkenaz. So the Rashba knew who the Rush was, and the Rush knew who the Rashba was. Now, Baruch Hashem, they met, and the Rashba entreats the Rush to stay in Barcelona. The Rush stays a few months, and then he leaves. And he goes, it's not on the map, to the city of Toledo. And he becomes the chief rabbi of Toledo until he dies in 1327. The Rush died in 1327. 1305 to 1327 is a shtick piece of time. He's the chief rabbi in Toledo. What makes the Rush extraordinarily fascinating, among many other reasons, is because here in this one individual, we have somebody who bridged the apparent gap between Ashkenazi Jewry and Sephardi Jewry. We should never think that in the Middle Ages, Volokorav Ze'ovet, that you had of Ashkenazi Jews in the north, and you had Sephardi Jews in the south. It's not true. There was a lot of connection. I already mentioned the Sefer HaManhig, who already in the 12th century connected Ashkenaz in the north to Sephard in the south. And the Rush is, in his lifetime, the prime exemplar of this connection. First half of his life, an Ashkenaz, highly distinguished, highly distinguished. Second half of his life in Spain, even more highly distinguished. So here's the tshuva. With that akdama, we could take a look. The tshuva, if you turn the page to the side, the bottom of page 5. Klal Revi'i Simen Yud. Vahi Bishnas Chamesha Salafim Vishivim Vishalosh Lebriya Solam. In the year 1313. This translates into 1313, which means that the Rush is already chief rabbi of Toledo for 12 years. It's 14 years before he was going to be Nifter. So he is well entrenched by now in the world of Sfarad, 12 years the chief rabbi in Toledo. In 1313, Netzru Agshamim, V'lo Himtir Kol HaChoref, Elo Ma'at Mizair. Nebuch, they didn't have, a whole winter goes by, drips of rain, it was terrible, there was a drought. V'yikru Tzom L'shanein L'Hashem, L'ases Motor Apnei Adam. So what do you do when you need rain? That's the whole first section of Masachas Tainis. You have ad hoc fast days that we establish in order to entreat the Rabbonu Shel Olam to bring rain, because without rain, we're finished. You remember, Haskaras Geshamim is in the bracha of Tchiyas Sameis. Vayi b'leil rishon shel Pesach achar tfilas arvis. It's the first night of Pesach after Ma'ariv. V'adoni avi arush. Obviously, the Rush didn't write this. One of the sons of the Rush. The Rush had three, maybe four, we know for sure of three very distinguished sons. Our father, the Rush, Radoni Avi Arush, Yoshev Pesach Beso. He's sitting in the front. It's after Meir of the first night. He's probably waiting for, I guess he didn't help in the kitchen, the Rush, to set the table. He was waiting outside in the front. So they weren't helping either. They were all hanging out with the Rebbe, with the Tata, Shlita. They were all hanging out in front of the Rush's little house there in Toledo on both sides. The Yomar. And the Rush says the following. That would be a good time to raise an issue that I have been wondering about forever. Why is it that tomorrow, or now, we're not going to say Mashavurach or Merad HaGashem anymore? We're stopped. We're not going to be Maskir Gishamim, and we're going to say, in Chalamoid, we're not going to say anymore V'sein Talumoto. Why not? We really should extend both Haskaras and She'elas Gishamim till Shavuos. Why? Because we need it. There's a drought. We're being mispalled for our Kodesh Baruch. We're in deep trouble. We need the rain. Why are we stopping? It makes no sense. So some of the chevra said, you know what, Rabbi? Good idea. Tovhu. Shetodia hadovet lezikenim v'yasu kein. Who are the zikenim? We'll see in a minute. The zikenim is the board of directors of the community. The balabatim. Rabbi, good idea. Tell the balabatim. And that's it. The rabbi said that we're going to continue to say Masha Veruach, we're going to continue to say V'sein Tal Umot. V'yosha Beinei. V'yishluchu l'chazon ha-knesses l'hazgir l'mochar ha-geshem. V'yasu ken. Tomorrow you should say Masha Veruach Mar ha-geshem. You say it. And they did it. V'yaskiru b'nei ha-knesses ha-gdola. There was a big shul in Toledo. Hayud Gimel Midos, they had a whole tefillah that they said to pray for rain on the first day of Pesach, including the Yud Gimel Midos. Nebuch, big problem. Big problem. Why? Vayhi kol ki hiskiro. As soon as the chazan says, Masha Veruach, Tzeverta Vayitzako in the shul, people start screaming. Vihine Rash, who starts screaming? Miktas ha-chachamim, asher lo hoya hadover ba-atzasa. They forgot to tell all the Balabatim. They only told a few. The other members of the board, who were not consulted in advance about this dramatic change in the prayer ritual, went ballistic. And they were not brought into this in advance. Dafka those asher lo haya davar batfasam, ve'yotiu kol neymar, shelo haya roi laskiro, shesimen klolohu. Those who they checked with in advance, the Gevor and Varim in the Harrison. The rabbi gave me advance notice, shouldn't be surprised, but near as yet. Those Nebuchlach, who for some reason they didn't get the email, and they showed up in shul, and all of a sudden, what bothered them was not that the chazan said. What bothered them was that they didn't get the email. So they went, what are you doing? It's a terrible thing. So there's a whole big tumult in the shul. Gunish, anshtiminish, Rush is quiet, doesn't say anything, till Chalamoid, sits down, the first night of Chalamoid, v'yichtov Megillah Sefer l'chazek Dvarav v'zeh Torfa. And he wrote, first night of Chalamoid, the following tshuva, and this is the text. What follows is a text of the tshuva of the Rush to explain and to justify why it is that he felt that on both ends, the custom needs to be changed. A, like the context here, it needs to be continued beyond the end point. Namely, even after Pesach, we still have to both have Skoras and She'elas Gishamim. And on the Halchin Dabai, he says we also have to change the beginning point. That we should not do Ad Samach Letkufa like the Gemara says Bavel, but in fact, we should begin Zayin b'Marcheshen, because we need it. So we should extend, says the Rush, and he argues for both. We should extend She'elas and Askaras Geshamim earlier than Shishin B'Tkufa, and later than Pesach. And that's what this whole tshuva is about. You see where it's underlined shortly below it. Mikvar Yamim Rabim Ba'ashkenaz. Nisra'amti al shnei dvarim shara'isi shenogim b'yamim alolu. Already when I was living in Ashkenaz, right, he's living, it's now 1313. In 1313, he's living in Toledo, he's living in Spain. Already in Ashkenaz, two things I wondered about. And what are the two things? Number one, the beginning time, and number two, the end time. If you have time, take the sheets with you. It's a beautiful, fascinating, really interesting tshuva. I don't have time to go through the whole thing. Let's just conclude on the left side of page 7. He goes through the lumbus here, and he actually says along the way, go back to page 6 in the middle of the left-hand column. Kol elu hadvarim, where it's underlined, danti lefnei rabosai v'ashkenaz, v'lo haya adam ha'arer l'dvarai, but nobody had the guts to change the minute. He says everybody agreed that we really should change it, but nobody felt like it. K'sheyatzasenei ashkenaz v'avarti derech provinza. You understand very well, geographically, the only way you can go from Ashkenaz, you have the map, the only way you can go from Ashkenaz to Sfarad is if you go through southern France, not only France, southern France. Shamati, the Montpellier, Shahayu Maskir Machamim, Bezaiber Macheshman. Right, that's the evidence from the Ne'iri. The Ne'iri says, the Glilo Seinu. That's the evidence from the Sefer Amanhig, that in Narbonne, they used to do it, the Yoshima Odeina, they used to do it already, Bezaiber Macheshman. A whole long arichus is really wonderful, and then he concludes, page 7 on the left side, Ubiraosi, Kihitu es leiv hakohol lebilti kabel mimeni divrei elikim chayim. However, the Rush says, with all the lumdis and all the rabbinic authority, when I saw that I'm smack up against a brick wall, the Hilga Rush, right, you think, if the Rush says, Kinderlach, you know, in our community, I think we ought to do this, everybody would fall kairim and say, but the Hilga Rebbe, whatever you say. The Rush, 12 years, he's a rabbi already in this community. And he's already world-renowned, Sheba, world-renowned. He's the Gedolei Olam of the 14th century, of the greatest Jews alive. Doesn't matter. Balabatin, Balabatin, you didn't check with me, rabbi. You should forgive me. So nothing to talk about. Not in my shul. This isn't going to happen. Finished, says the Rush, when I saw as the Nevis to Megavar Finster in the Eugen, and even though this is what I wanted to do, so it Megarnish Gehofen, Uberaosi ki hitu es leva kol le bilti, kabel me many, what I consider to be Divrei Elokim Chaim, tamani chazarti bi mi lisho u lahaskir bebeis haknesta shayni misbalobo. I didn't want to be parrots together. He had his own little shtibala. He didn't go to the Beis HaKnesses HaGadol. But if they're not going to do it over there, I don't want to do it over here also. Lo ratzisi la'asos agudus agudus. V'lo ha'isi kose v'chol ha'moe. You remember, when did he sit down to write this? First on chol ha'moed. Chol ha'moed? What are you writing on chol ha'moed? V'lo ha'isi kose v'chol ha'moed. Ki lo hur galdi b'chach. I don't write on chol ha'moed. Elosh et zorech sha'ahu mipnei chilul shem shamayim. The gam yesh the dover azek tas nitzorech hamoed. So I was myra heter to allow myself to write on chalamay. If you look at the Rosh in his parish on Pinus on page 7 on the left hand side, he talks about this whole issue and he just makes an oblique reference, the next to the last line, ube provincia ro'isi shahoyu sho'al emesag shamin bimar cheshvin. The Yashar Ma'od Be'enai. So he happens to mention that when I was in Provence, I saw, this is the first person eyewitness testimony, which we, having had the benefit of this long tshuva, now can appreciate much fuller. And understanding the history and understanding the geography, he went to Provence. He didn't go on summer vacation to Provence. He went when he traveled, when he had to run away Nebuch, from Germany, he had to go through France, and he came to Spain, he had to go through Provence. Another few minutes, and then I will conclude. On page 8, I dafka just parenthetically put in the chiddush about chol ha'moed. I have to tell you something. It bothers me. I know this year, somehow, it started to really bother me. We don't really observe chol ha'moed right. By us, chol ha'moed is a weekday like every other weekday. I know, so we have Hashanah in the morning, it's a long shachar. The only thing that differentiates Chol HaMoed from a regular weekday is 20 minutes earlier shachar. Everything else is basically the same. Our community has lost, Chassidim walk around with Streimlich. Chassidim walk around with Streimlich and Chol HaMoed. Walking with a Bekesh on Chol HaMoed. It's a Yom Tov. I'm talking to myself, it like bothered me this year. For us, we're going to start, can I write? Chol HaMoed, how can I write? Does it ever occur to us even to ask the question? And it doesn't. It's like we somehow run roughshod over this tkufa, and we don't give it the amount of respect that I think that it deserves. If you look in the tour, in Hilchas Chol HaMoed on page 8, I zero out that the tour paskins at the end of Simen Tav Kuf Mem Hei, Vadoni Yavi Arashzal, Kosav Chuvat Sheela Bechol Hamoed, Vihitir Li Leha Atika, the Choshev Dover Ha'ovid. Vihitir Li Leha Atika. Who is the Adoni Yavi Arashzal? Vizet Torfa, and this is the copy. Who is it? Which son? It was the Torah, Rabbi Yaakov Balaturim. And the Torah quotes this in the Hilchos Chol HaMoed, in the Beis Yosef, at the bottom. What's the tshuva that he's talking about? He's talking about our tshuva about Sheilas Geshamim and Askaras Geshamim that he sat down to write right after Yom Tov because it didn't get brent in Kishkis and he was all upset and he had to write it down because it was a Dover of it and it was a Tzayruch Rabbim and he had to do it. What I want to now deal with, and I will deal with it very briefly in just a few minutes, is the issue of the Southern Hemisphere. We already saw some deviations from the standard bifurcation in the Gemara between Eretz Yisrael, Zayin Ma'cheshvan, Bavel, Shishim B'tkufu. We already saw some deviations in the Me'iri, in the Sefer HaManig, and in the Rush, that where necessary in the Northern Hemisphere, we should start possibly earlier, we should end possibly later. But what about the Southern Hemisphere, where it's not an issue of starting earlier or ending later, but in the Southern Hemisphere, when I was a kid, I used to think that they walked on their heads. Like, because they used to, how did they not fall off the earth if they're on the Southern Hemisphere? That means their feet are over here, and that means their heads are over here. So how did they stick to the ground? Like, it took me a while to realize that that was like a silly concept. But it's Olam Hafach, because by us it's winter, by them it's summer, so we are very Western-o-Northern-o-centric. We are Palestinian-Babylonian-centric. What about if you're living on the other end of the world? In the other end of the world, when we need it, they don't need it. When they need it, we don't need it. It's exactly the opposite. So the very first Shaila, the first Shaila that came from the New World, back to Europe in 1637, we don't have the date on the tshuva, but we know that the first Jews who settled in the Western Hemisphere settled in Recife, which is a little staple on the water, on the, what's the ocean? The Atlantic Ocean, Recife in Brazil. And it's a long story how they got there. It doesn't matter for now. The first Jews, and actually that was the source of the 23 Jews who showed up in New Amsterdam in 1650-something. The first Shaila we have from the Western Hemisphere, in the history of the Western Hemisphere, is a Shaila about this question. And I xeroxed it to you in the original edition. The cover page is on page 9. This is Sefer Teres Chaim by Reb Chaim Shabtai. Reb Chaim Shabtai was a rabbi in Salonika who died in 1647. He died in 1647. The Sefer was published later, which means that the Tshuva, just like enough to figure out northern France is north of southern France, that the Tshuva was before he died. So the Tshuva is before 1647, and we know that Jews came to Recife in 1637, so we have a shtickle, a window of this tshuva. She'ela, turn to page 10. She'ela. And I xerox the whole tshuva for you. So you'll have, during the hakafis, you'll have, after you spend 3.5 hours huffing and puffing, so you can take a little break and you rest a little bit, you'll be able to look at the tshuva. She'ela. Sha'alu mitam. May Eretz Rechoka Mimalchus Brazil. This sefer is published in Salonika. Sholchu Mitam, the Eretz Rechoka, Folmer Chagan in Yehupitzville. May Eretz Rechoka Mimalchus Brazil, Shehu Makom Rachuk Mikav Hashave Litzadorom. What's the Kav Hashave? The equator. Makom Rachuk Litzadorom. Far from the south. The south, far south of the equator. Skip two lines, he gives you the latitude, the longitude, the Yamosa Geshem, the whole Seder Zman and Mishtana Shami Kayetz Lachorev. She Yamosa Chamalohemi Tishri Ad Nisan. It's summertime. By us it's fall winter, by them it's summer. Mi Tishri Ad Nisan, by them it's summer. The Yamosa Shamim, Mi Nisan Atishri. Vak Shamim, Hain Tzorechlem, they really need the rain, Mi Nisan Atishri. But Umi Tishri Ad Nisan, Ain Lam Tzorech Bahem. So the question is, not only Eimah and Tzorech Bahem, but a Gedolim Izos, it's bad for them. It's bad for them to have rain during what we call by us the wintertime, by them the summertime. It's not good for them. It's a problem with the air. The air gets too humid and they get sick. He says, Umipnei Elu Asibos, 4 lines from the end of the Shaila, Rotim Lishanos Seder Tfila, the Inyan Shaila Vahaskara, they want to v'nahafachu v'lishol pshamim minisan atishrei v'shelo lishol mitishrei anisan. And not only with regard to she'elas gishamim, but v'chein b'haskara v'haskir gishamim. They want to say mashav ruach minisan atishrei. They want to start saying mashav ruach after Pesach and v'shelo lishol mitishrei anisan. Alkein mo yorenu morenu imadin imahim. Uba oro near eor. In your light, we will see light. Beloved Rabbi, to what extent is this need-based? To what extent is this tradition-based? Until Jews showed up in Recife, they didn't have Jews in the southern hemisphere that were significant to ask such a shaila to give in. We live north, on the northern hemisphere, so we figured it out. So with Dre, Bavel, Eretz Yisrael, a little bit Hina, earlier, later. But here, it's a whole cataclysm. Are you a lot of flick? You have the whole tshuva, Isaiah's the whole tshuva for you. Basically, there are two issues. Issue number one is, can you say it in the summertime? By us, the summer. Can you say it after Pesach? Let's call it. Can you say it from Pesach to Sukkot? That's question number one. Can you not say it from Sukkot to Pesach? Because we say it from Sukkot to Pesach. We, you know, the Jewish world as it was known, says it. So they state in the Mishnah, so they state in Gemara. We say it from Sukkot to Pesach. We do not say it from Pesach to Sukkot. Question, can they say it from Pesach to Sukkot? Question number one. Question number two is, can they not say it from Sukkot to Pesach? So he passed them as follows. From Sukkot to Pesach, they do not say it. Because it's dangerous for them. And they don't have to say anything that's dangerous for them. Second question, can they say it from Pesach to Sukkot? So for that, you have a Gemara Mefureshet. 45:50, I'm afraid to look at the clock. Minutes ago, I read the Gemara Maseches Tanis Yudalid, Shochu B'nei Ninve L'Rebbe. What if we need it after Pesach? What did Rebbe paskin? You have a halacha not like to Rabbim, but to Yechidim. So Ferish Gemara, you say it. Yes, you could say it. But you say it in Shomei Atzila. Paskin Rav Chaim Shabtai, that between Pesach and Sukkot, they say it, because they need it. That's when they really need it. But it's Ki Yechidim Domu. And they say it in Shomei Atzila, between Sukkot and Pesach, when it's dangerous for them, then I'm not have to say it at all. That's the Psak. After working through page 10, page 11, page 12, that's what we have. In conclusion, I just want to show you a few very interesting examples. So on page 13, a Xerox from an interesting book about the Jews in Victoria, which is in Australia, which was published in Melbourne in 1954. So A.H. Hart, who was the president of the Melbourne community, sent a whole interesting set of shilas to the chief rabbi of England in 1848. The distinguished chief rabbi of England in 1848 was Nathan Marcus Adler. And in Melbourne, and obviously I'm not going to have time, it's fascinating, Kaihanim Hastaduchen, Nebuch, we're living in Gullus, Kaihanim, Ar Kaihanim Nebuchanat Shemeshav. So are they a lot of duch? That's a shayla. Number two, can a mayo give what he calls here chloroform? Can the mayo use some kind of an anesthetic for the baby, or is it somehow interfering with the process of the breath? We don't have a minion, Nebuch. We don't have a minion. So could we do Kriya Satorah without a minion? Could we take out a Sefer Torah and lane, even though we don't have a minion? It's fascinating. 1848. Australia, back to England. And the last, the question that's relevant to us, this is on the top right-hand side of the page. Second, at the appropriate seasons, should we or not read the prayers appointed for rain and dew? The seasons in this hemisphere, as you are aware, being opposite to those of our native country. The same question refers to the time of saying, Talu Mater. Talu Mater. So it's not just the question of Masha V'ruach, but Talu Mater. And what's the issue? Because we live in a hemisphere that's been a hafachu. This is 1848 from Australia to the motherland, to England. The chief rabbi's reply to Hart is missing, where it's underlined below it. Nebuch, we don't know. A similar question to that asked by Hart regarding the seasonal prayers for the southern hemisphere was put by the Hobart town Hebrew congregation to the chief rabbi in 1846. Hobart, Bikiam in geography, is in Tasmania. Tasmania is an island off the southern coast of Australia. And Hobart is a Ir Va'im, it's a chush of the city. There are like 250,000 people who live in Hobart, or Hobart town, the capital of Tasmania, an island off the southern coast of Australia. Asks a shayla to the chief rabbi in 1846, and he answered, and he replied that Geshem and Tal could be dispensed with altogether, and that worshippers were exempt from Ashiva Ruach. But when rain is needed, it could be silently said and inserted before the Atta Shomea Tefillah. A Talmud Chacham again, the chief rabbi. He paskined like Rav Chaim Shabtai paskined for the Jews in Brazil. Namely, if it's no good for you, skip it. You don't have to say it. So between Sukkot and Pesach, don't say it. But when you need it, and they need it lehefach between Pesach and Sukkot. So it's a Gemara Mefureshes on Daf Yudalid that Rebbe Paskin, if you need it, you say it in the middle of Shemay Ashkenaz. Another few examples, if you learn to page 14, Buenos Aires. Now we're in Argentina. We moved from Australia to Argentina. So if you look at the top of page 14, very interesting Shaila from Shaila Me'es Anshei Adosenu Kila Kedosa Damese Kamizgorim Ata Ba America Buenos Aires Sheva Argentina 1924 Tofresh Pei Dalid in 1924. What are we going to do in Buenos Aires? It's a Syrian community. It's a Damascus community of Jews, which we know from other sources came to Buenos Aires. That's the top part of the page. Bottom right-hand page is 1928. Same Shaila, B'medina Zu, Argentina. Yemos HaChoref Shalohem, Heim Yemos HaKayetz Shel B'nei Bavel. V'yemos HaKayetz Shalohem, Sheheim Yemos HaChoref Shel B'nei Bavel. And these distinguished rabbis paskened all in keeping with the same line. If it's no good for you between Sukkot and Pesach, skip it. If you need it between Pesach and Sukkot, say it. But, ki'yachidim damu, you should say it in Shomei HaTefillah. And they quote the Torah's Chaim. That tshuva, that Yena tshuva from Rav Chaim Shabtai in 1637, the first tshuva to the New World, set the mold for this Shaila and is consistently referred to in subsequent halachic authority. The last one is on page 13. We move from Australia to Buenos Aires to New Zealand. So here's a Shaila to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. On page 15, on the last page 15. Shaila v'haskaras geshamim b'medinos shehakayetz maschil b'chag hasukos. Shaila anu toshove zilandia hachadosha. V'anu maskirim, the end of that paragraph, anu maskirim geshem achare asukos kamo b'eretz Yisrael. Aval le'inyan she'elas geshamim anu misupokim emas ha'ilom v'sein talamot. He quotes the Rush, and then on the left-hand side, v'lechem medina New Zealand, al teshanu m'minig Yisrael b'chol atfusos, he says you should say she'achare asukos tomru v'sein talamot v'achare ha'pesach tomru v'sein baracha v'lo talamot. That you should try to maintain the minhag of Yisrael as much as possible, and is not so enamored by the tshuva of Rav Chaim Shabtai. So, to summarize, this question is a fascinating question. I think the takeaway for us is, to what extent is halacha determined by or a function of the particular needs that we have, and therefore, if there's a particular need, we could essentially turn our back on Minhag Yisrael for many, many, many years, or, and the second option was the preferred option, was I don't care if you need it. If you need it, so you have a din of a yachid, even though it can be a whole hemisphere. You have a din of a yachid because Minhag Yisrael is a Minhag Yisrael. And you don't tamper with Minhag Yisrael. And this is the way we've been doing it. This is Eretz Yisrael, this is Bavel. Yes, there is some latitude, the Rush, the Meiri, the Sefer HaManeg a little before, a little after, but in Gansu v'Nahafachu, that's more than we could handle because we have a certain way of doing things. We'll be happy to try to accommodate you as much as possible within the broader context of the custom of our people as it has been developed and practiced for generations. I wish all of you a wonderful and a fair looking day.
It wasn't just because of the drought. Apparently, this time it lasted a long time.